And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another. Zechariah 7, 9, and 10. I am Rob West. God is a God of justice and righteousness, and He expects the same from His people today. Today we'll talk about financial injustice. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. In Psalm 139:13, David praises God, saying, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In His goodness and power, God made each of us in His image. Ephesians 2:10 confirms that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God intended for His people to be just and righteous as He is. Unfortunately, the world we live in has been spoiled by sin, and we're faced with this reality every day. In the realm of finances, sins like greed, envy, dishonesty, and pride can lead to financial injustice. This happens when a person takes unfair advantage of someone else financially. According to God's Word, financial injustice takes many forms and has severe consequences. Let's look at a few examples. To those who mistreated the poor or disadvantaged, Proverbs 22:16 warns, Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. And Proverbs 14:31 puts it this way, Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. Cheating in financial transactions is another kind of injustice that God hates. Here's Proverbs 20, verse 10. Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike, an abomination to the Lord. God is certainly on the side of those who suffer the injustice of robbery and embezzlement. Psalm 12:5 says, Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. Robbery can also take the form of overcharging for rent or services, price gouging, and identity theft. I would contend that severely underpaying employees is also a form of theft and is unjust. Dishonesty in financial matters is another kind of injustice. God's word specifically forbids lying and inequality in court. You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit siding with the many so as to pervert justice, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. That's from Exodus 23. Obviously, God is powerfully opposed to injustice, and those who do it will have to answer to Him. Galatians 6:7 is a warning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. As Christians, we should feel the same way God does about injustice. Obviously, we must never participate in taking advantage of others, but what do we do when we see it happening? If financial injustice is taking place within your family or the church, follow Jesus' words from Matthew 18. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. If you see someone breaking the law, be prepared to expose financial wrongdoing and report it to the authorities. There are some injustices that are beyond our reach, such as something we might see in the news. In those instances, prayer is also a powerful tool. Ask God to protect the oppressed and to expose evil. And what if you are the victim of financial injustice? Again, if the perpetrator is another believer, follow Jesus' command to go to them first. If that doesn't work, take it to the church. Outside of the church, you may have to take the problem directly to secular authorities. Get wise advice about whether to hire a lawyer or call the police. If you've been scammed, expose the evil. Don't let embarrassment keep you from reporting it. Your action in exposing wrongdoing might help someone else avoid what happened to you. Sometimes financial injustice is a matter of personal discrimination or unkindness against you. There may not be anything you can do about it except to hold on to your own integrity. Jesus knows about the injustices we experience. John 16:33 records it in his words, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." All right, your calls are next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our world has a trust problem. And that's not surprising. We've been lied to so many times. By corporations, by leaders. Some people joke that if a politician is even speaking, you can assume they are lying. So is there anyone you can trust? Unlike humanity, God never lies. Unlike us, God is always truthful and trustworthy. In God's Word, we read about this in 2 Timothy 2, where it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." The takeaway, God is trustworthy. It's not because we're faithful, it's because he is. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Do you see yourself too sinful for God to care? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
You know, one of the big reasons why people have a love problem with the Lord is because they haven't received His love for them. They don't really compute that. They don't really believe that God could really and truly love them without conditions. But He does.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds' investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're considering in your financial life as you live, give, owe, and grow God's money. Whatever it is, call right now at 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. You can be one of the first callers to get right through today here on the program, 800-525-7000. Perhaps there's that financial issue you've been wrestling with over the weekend, and you've been wondering, which decision should I make? Which direction should I go? Maybe it's around your credit score as you're preparing to buy a house or a car. How about navigating the housing market, your spending plan? Maybe it's your investments or debt repayment, whatever it might be. We'd love to tackle it with you today. The number again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, here's a question. Can you handle an unexpected financial emergency of $1,000? A new survey from Bankrate shows that only 44% of Americans could meet that financial hurdle without borrowing. And even though that's a 1-point improvement over last year's survey results, a majority of respondents still would go into debt to meet that crisis. And 2/3 of the 1,000 people surveyed said they'd worry about covering monthly expenses regularly if the primary breadwinner was laid off. Now, why aren't folks saving more? Well, 63% blamed high inflation for their inability to put money in the bank. Here's what Bankrate is recommending, a 3-step process to prepare for a financial crisis. First, calculate how much emergency savings you need. We often say here on this program, 3 to 6 months expenses is ideal. So that would mean knowing what you're spending on a monthly basis. Now, here's the reality. So often, we don't know what we're spending. So maybe that's the starting point, is you need to really dial into that. By the way, the FaithFi app can help with that as you connect to your bank and credit cards, download all your transactions, and then you can organize them, get a feel for what you're actually spending over a month's time. The track-only option, which is one of 3 approaches you can take, will just help you get it all in the system so you can see where it's going. That's going to be really important because, again, that goal for emergency savings, 3 to 6 times your expenses, not your income, your expenses. All right, second, open an account specifically for emergency use. I recommend a separate savings account, an online bank savings account linked to your checking. Why? Well, you're going to get a better interest rate there. You might get next to nothing in your brick and mortar bank. With an online bank right now, you can get 4.6, even as high as 5% for high yield savings with FDIC insurance. Why not take advantage of that, especially if you've got a near fully funded or a fully funded emergency fund? You could earn several hundred dollars or more in interest over a year's time. And then, thirdly, budget so you can start building up that emergency fund. What does that mean? Well, the only way we can accomplish our goals is to live on less than we earn. That margin is essential to giving more, being able to save for your emergency fund or pay down debt. So once we know what we're spending, we have that savings account in place, then we want to budget so we've got the margin and put that aside. Now, here's the reality. Automating that savings into that savings account is really going to be key. That's going to allow you just to have it automatically come out. You don't see it. You plan for it in the budget, and it's gone right into that savings account. And you'll be surprised. You'll build it up in no time. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Despite this discouraging report from Bankrate, you can get, don't be one of those statistics. Let's make sure we can cover the unexpected. All right, we're going to dive into some phone calls today. Again, the number 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your questions on anything financial. Let's begin in Tennessee today. Jackson is the city. Annette is the caller. Go right ahead.
Yes, I retired October 1st. I have long-term partners, which when I worked, the government paid part of it. But now since I retired, it would cost me $329.88. I get $2,900 a month in retirement, and I don't have much savings. Is it worth keeping long-term?
Yeah. What is the coverage, Annette? Are you familiar with what it would pay out and under what situation?
No, honestly, I'm not. I've had it for years, so I'm not sure.
But do you think it's life insurance or do you think it's long-term care insurance?
It's long-term care, long-term care insurance.
Okay, yeah. I think the key is, that's a pretty reasonable amount. I think the key is, number one, can you fit it in your budget? I realize things are tight. And so you need to understand, what is it going to provide for you? Now, here's the reality. 70% of Americans will need long-term care for some period of time. On average, it's somewhere between 18 months and 3 years. And it can be very expensive. If there's going to be something that erodes your assets in this season of life, it will most often be the need for long-term care. It could run you $5,000 a month for, some in-home care or assisted living. We'll continue to push it up. Full nursing care could run you $10,000 a month. It can be very expensive. Now, if you deplete your assets, then you'd go into a Medicaid facility and get coverage that way. But if this policy could step in and provide you the coverage that you need to be able to you know, provide the long-term care that is going to be essential for you if that time comes, then it's worth it. Again, if you can afford it. Now, what I would probably do, Annette, is just have somebody look at this policy for you and understand what it is you're buying. Usually, under all of it, the starting point is what they call a daily benefit. So if you can't perform a certain number of what they call activities of daily living, you know, bathing and transferring and, you know, several others, when you can't do a certain number of those, then these trigger and they start paying out after a waiting period. So you want to know how long is that waiting period. And then second, you're going to want to know what is that daily benefit. You know, maybe it's $150 a day that it pays out that you could use to cover, you know, long-term care expenses. But you're going to want to know, number one, what is the waiting period? Number two, what is the daily benefit that it's going to pay you? Number three, is there any kind of inflation protection? So as the cost of healthcare rises, does the daily benefit that this policy will pay out rise with the rising cost of healthcare? That's important to know. If not, this is, you're losing purchasing power on the benefit every day because of inflation. And so I think these are some of the things you want to know. And having a neutral third party, somebody who can analyze this policy for you and just make sure that it's going to give you what you need, because that's a major expense. And as you said, you've got limited resources. So perhaps you can make this work in your budget, but you're going to want to know if you do that, you know, that it's ultimately going to pay what it is that you need. So what I would do, just in conclusion here, Annette, and then I'll get your thoughts, is I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Tennessee. You can do that on our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA and see if you can find one that specializes in insurance, specifically long-term care insurance, who can analyze this policy for you and just let you know if you're getting, you know, a good deal with regard to the benefits that it will pay out. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, very good.
And I will do that.
Awesome. But I do think at the end of the day, I like the idea of you hanging on to this. You know, it, when you get over 65, these policies tend to get very expensive. So if it's one you've had for a while, it's probably more reasonable. Hopefully you'll find that it gives you, you know, competitive benefits. And if so, I think this is absolutely worth keeping to be able to cover this need should it arise down the road. May the Lord bless you, Annette. Thanks for calling. Denise, coming your way after the break. Lines are open, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got lines open. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. By the way, coming up a little later in the broadcast, I'll tackle two emails we received recently. The first is around title lock, or what is often called title lock insurance. Is that a good deal? I'll weigh in. Also, a second email from a listener: when should we stop our life insurance in retirement? We'll tackle that one as well. But let's get back to the phones. We'll go to Texas. Denise, you'll be next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi. I had spoke to you a couple of months ago about a home that I had inherited from my family.
Yeah.
And what my concern is the taxes that I'm going to owe on it, because I sold it a couple of months ago. And you had said, since my husband and I didn't make more than $80,000 a year, that we would not owe taxes on it. But yet my accountant told me that since it had been used as a VRBO for the last 7 years, that we would be paying about $45,000. So I just need your take.
Yeah. I would check back in with him. So the capital gains on a rental property or an investment property is subject to the long-term capital gains tax. Have you been paying taxes on the VRBO income you've been receiving? Is that the issue?
I don't know if that's the issue. I mean, I have been including that in my taxes every year, of course, but, you know, I haven't made very much money from the VRBO.
Okay.
At all.
Yeah. So you sold it for how much over the market value as of the date that you inherited it? Do you know how much profit you have in it?
Yes, I think the market value when I inherited it back in 2015 was around $160,000, and it sold for $465,000, and the market value on it when I sold it was around $410,000, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, very good. I would certainly rely on the CPA's guidance here. You should have gotten the stepped up basis to the current market value. And then, you know, typically with the long-term capital gains rates, if you make, for instance, you know, this year, married filing jointly income less than $89,000, you don't owe any capital gains tax at all. But, you know, maybe there's some depreciation or something else that came into bear here, just given how you use this property. So I would just circle back and just make sure you understand exactly what it is you're paying and why, given that you had the stepped up basis, given that your income is less than $89,000, and that you've owned this for more than a year, and find out, you know, where that additional tax that he's telling you you have is coming from, whether it's from the income that you received or whether it's truly, part of the capital gains, because that would be confusing to me if that's what it was, just given what you're describing.
Well, the whole thing is very confusing to me, so I just appreciate what you have to say about it.
Is this somebody you've worked with for a while who's been, working on your taxes and so forth?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I think just maybe getting further explanation, you know, there's obviously always more to, you know, the details that we can get into here in just a couple of minutes on the radio. So I'd probably go back and just say, I'm confused as to why you're telling me there's a capital gains tax, just given my situation, and have her explain if that's exactly, you know, if that's in fact what it is, or whether that tax is coming from somewhere else. At the end of the day, you know, she's the tax professional, so you need to trust her counsel or get a second opinion, but I would certainly get further explanation. And Denise, once you find out kind of where this is coming from, I'd love for you to circle back and let us know what she's saying. That would be helpful to me. Thanks for checking in with us, Denise. We appreciate you listening and calling today. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Texas. Well, actually, we'll stay in Texas. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi. This is my first time to call.
Great.
And I was listening to you talk to that lady about long-term health care.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to say my experience with my parents right now. They probably paid their long-term health care over 30 years at $600 a month. And I think it was, like $450,000, $500,000 that they paid in. And we are struggling to get them to pay when they do. You know, and it's, they've got to qualify. They've got to do this, you know. And it's just been really hard. And we were thinking that, you know, $600 a month, if you were to put that back in savings for 30 years, they could have paid the long-term health care themselves and still had money left over.
Yeah.
That's kind of my experience. It makes me not want to get it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I would be, the first question would just be, why so much? You know, what age did they get it? Why was that the policy premium so high?
I don't know. My dad would not talk to us about finances whatsoever.
Yeah.
I know they had it a long time, and then before they needed it, he decided he couldn't afford it and he was going to stop it, and they talked him into just cutting it in half because it was unlimited. And they cut it down to 3 years or 2 years and assisted living, and then 3 years for a nursing home or something like that. But we just struggle with them doing anything. And I'm just like, why would anybody pay for this, to go through this, and then you have to struggle to get them to pay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I certainly understand that. And I think there was a couple of questions here. Number one is, and you don't need to tell me the company, but you certainly would want to read reviews on the company, make sure they're not all created equal in terms of these insurance companies. It's kind of like your health insurance or your car insurance. You need to know who you're working with and make sure that it's not only a reputable company, but one that's going to be easy to work with. Number two is that premium. You know, the average cost, is for a female age 60 for, you know, $165,000 in coverage would be about $2,500 a year, you know, $1,900 a year if you needed, without inflation protection. So obviously they were spending a lot of money. And the question is, for what benefit and what company? And I think you've got to know the answer to all of those. Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, a couple of quick tips on long-term care insurance. As Kathy mentioned, you know, not all of these policies are created equal. I think one of the keys is it's got to fit into your budget. You know, if you can't sustain it for the long term, you're ultimately going to drop it. It's of no value to you. So you've got to be able to pay for it and cover the increases, which can't happen on individual policies, but it can happen in the aggregate, and they do have premium increases. So you need to be able to absorb that. I'd work with an independent agent. I would say somebody who really specializes in long-term care to know what's the right policy for you that you can afford. It may not be the one that can cover everything, but at least it's going to provide some benefit to shoulder some of that load of the cost of long-term care, which, as we've said, is very expensive. But you're also going to want that independent agent specializing in long-term care to know which company is going to be the best one for you to go with. Ultimately, you've got to plan realistically. And I would say think simple, other than what you might consider a souped up policy that has a lot of bells and whistles. Now, I like the idea of an inflation rider, but you don't need a lot of extras that drive up the cost. The key is get a basic policy with some inflation protection that's going to give you the coverage you need to help offset this major expense in this season of life. But with anything, especially with something that has a price tag like long-term care insurance, we've got to do our homework, we've got to shop around, and wise counsel is really key. All right, let's head back to the phones. We do have some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I retired in November 2022, and 64 years old, and I am trying to avoid taking Social Security. I am basically spending down my cash on hand, what you would call my emergency funds.
Yes, sir.
Spending it down and then replenishing it each year to have cash on hand by taking a distribution. What do you think of that plan?
Yeah, so you're spending down your cash on hand at what rate? How much are you pulling out of your cash?
I'm pulling about $30,000.
Okay.
A year.
All right, and what's the balance on that account?
Roughly 600.
Okay. And that's all just in savings, or is that invested?
Invested.
It's invested. Okay. And is that a taxable account or like an IRA?
IRA.
Okay, very good. And then do you also have just some liquid savings that you can rely on, or is 100% of it in the IRA?
Well, because I spent it down last year, and then I replenished by taking a distribution this year to have $30,000 on hand.
I got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so every year you pull the 30 to replenish your spending account, and then by the end of the year it's down to zero, and then you pull another distribution, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, very good. And the goal here is to get to preferably, full retirement age, and then at that point, how much would you be bringing in Social Security?
About 3,100.
Okay, yeah. So that would about cover it. So at that point, you could really no longer take any distributions apart from your required minimums, right?
Exactly, and that'd be at 66 and 10 months.
Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah, I like that plan a lot, Joe, and here's why. I mean, you're pulling a little bit more than I would generally recommend. I'd like to keep that number around 4. You're pulling 5% a year, but that's fine because the reality is, if your investments are doing well, you're properly diversified, you should be probably making up most of that. Now, I realize this rally that we saw at the end of last year and that's continued somewhat into this year has still been fairly narrow. Small cap stocks are still 20% off their highs. So you may be down, over a 1 year period or not. But the bottom line is you're not pulling an inordinate amount. And we're really only talking about you continuing to do that for another 2.5 years or so. And at that point, that money's then just going to be free to continue to grow. I like the idea that you're doing that so that you don't have to take Social Security early, because that 8% a year increase that's guaranteed, you're certainly not going to get that in the market. And then you're locking in that higher payout on your Social Security benefits for the rest of your life. In fact, if your portfolio is doing well, you may want to continue to ride that out to age 70, because then you'll get an additional 8% per year for every year you wait over full retirement age. But I think the bottom line is you're doing great on this. Once you hit age 70, I would look at the qualified charitable distribution as a way to satisfy your required minimum when that comes. By that time, it'll be 75. But that would allow you to do some giving without adding any taxable income through additional distributions. But I think in the meantime, this is a great plan that you've got here.
Okay. Speaking of giving, I am also taking a distribution. I'm below the minimum distribution age, but I'm taking a distribution for my giving.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So that's on top of the 30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just paying tax on that. And then are you giving enough away to itemize that, or are you just taking the standard deduction?
Oh, the charitable is to the church. So I'm not paying tax on that portion.
Okay. Well, you have to itemize though, because you can't do the qualified distribution until you're 70 and a half.
Okay. I was under the understanding that I could take a distribution direct. It's not a distribution to me. It goes directly to the church.
Yeah, but that, so the only way to get money out of an IRA is through a qualified charitable distribution. And the minimum age for a QCD is 70 and a half. So that's still, going to be considered a distribution. Because the qualified charitable distribution is not eligible until you reach 70 and a half. So you probably want to check with your CPA on that. How long have you been doing that?
I only did it last year. So,
okay.
I did not realize that. I thought and we're probably not going to itemize. So,
Okay. Yeah. So just make sure that that's treated properly. They're probably going to need to, your CPA is just going to need to know that. Do you normally file your own taxes, or do you have somebody help you with that?
File our own.
Okay. Yeah. I would get with a CPA this year on that, just and say, listen, we took this qualified charitable. I understand I'm not eligible to do that. How do I unwind that so I don't get hit with penalties and interest and that kind of thing. But it's not going to be a big deal. Don't stress about that, Joe. That will be, you can work that out. But actually, that really is not available to you at this point. But other than that, this plan sounds great. You guys are doing awesome. I love the idea that you're waiting on the Social Security. You're taking a great amount out from the account that should be sustainable. And I think you're right on track here. Thanks for calling in. Call anytime, Joe, with further questions. May the Lord bless you, sir. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment today. Let's go right back to the phones. Back to Texas. Hi, Deborah. How can we help?
Good morning. I have a question about something I've been thinking about because I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist and I think everything's going to crash. And I wanted to know, what would my tax liability be if I paid off my son's house, not buy it from him for what it's worth, but just paid off the balance that he owes out of my investments at Edward Jones. I've not spoken to my Edward Jones guy because he will have hysterics if I tell him I want to take out like $150,000. And I haven't mentioned it to my son either because I don't want to get his hopes up that I might do it and then I couldn't.
So I'm the first to know about this plan, Deborah. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, I got it. All right, so tell me what you're trying to accomplish. I understand you said you'd take money out of your, I guess it's an IRA, and use it to pay off your son's home, not buy it from him. So that would be a gift. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I just don't want, if the economy crashes, which my Edward Jones guys assures me that I will survive, but I don't believe them. I tell him all the time, I'm not going to keep this money. Somebody's going to take it. And my goal is to let my son own his home so that it cannot be repossessed or, you know, his loan called in. And then by that time, the economy has crashed and nobody has any money. I guess I'm just trying to be proactive. And then I would let him pay me rent. I mean, it wouldn't be letting him off the hook. Like, whatever he's paying for his house note, he could just pay that money to me, you know, to replenish what I've taken out.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this, just primarily because of, number one, the tax implications, and number two, just kind of the rationale behind it. And I'm not minimizing in any way the concerns you have about, you know, the future. What I would say is that God controls the future. Our trust needs to remain in Him. He is our provider, not the U.S. government or your employer or anyone or anything else. And so I think we need to remember that Jesus has overcome the world. Now, we will have trial and tribulation in this world. We live in a fallen world. We're waiting for Jesus to return to call us up, and we'll live in a new heaven and a new earth at that point if we've surrendered our lives to Him. In the meantime, I think we don't need to live and play out the what-if game, because that leads down the road to fear, which ultimately I think is one of Satan's weapons that he uses to distract us. Now, doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand either, so don't get me wrong, but I don't think we need to live in fear. I think we need to live with faith and live in the reality of the abundance that God has provided to us. Now, if we get into the details of what you're describing here, essentially what you would have to do is you'd take a distribution from this tax-deferred account, which would mean now all of a sudden you'd have $150,000 in taxable income on top of whatever other income you earned for that year. So your tax bill is going to go through the roof. If you're not 59 and a half, you'd have a penalty on top of that. If you are, you wouldn't. And then you'd have to essentially make a gift to your son to pay off the mortgage. And then essentially you could then have a, or you could loan him the money with a promissory note. And that would need to be in writing, and you'd have to spell out, according to the IRS, the terms of it. What is the payment? What interest rate are you charging him? And if it's below market interest rates, then that's considered a gift. You're going to have to report that to the IRS. He could take that loan, pay off his current mortgage, and now he's in debt to you. And you would have, you know, what you really should do would be you'd file that lien against the property, and you're now holding that note. And then he has a scheduled repayment, except he's not making a repayment every month to the bank. He's making it to the bank of Deborah, and he would be paying you back every month. So, you know, it does get a little complicated. Is it possible? Yes. Is it smart from a tax standpoint? No. And then I would say, with regard to the economy collapsing, if that's really the justification for it, I would caution you against that. Again, not to minimize what you're thinking, but just to say, yes, we have some problems in this country. We have, you know, rising debt levels. We've got some demographics problems. We're not having enough babies. And, you know, and there's several issues that are big that we need to address. And yet we're still the biggest and strongest economy in the world. You know, the what's happening here in America with regard to, you know, commerce and business and technology and all of the things, we're not going away anytime soon unless the Lord wants us to. And, you know, if the economy were to collapse, let's play out your scenario, the banking system collapses, the dollar's worthless. Does it really matter anyway, whether or not, you know, you've paid off this house or not? Probably not. So let's just assume it's not going to collapse. We're going to do fine. We're going to make some changes and deal with the issues that we have. We're going to enjoy the prosperity that we have, which is God's hand of blessing on us, I think, because we were founded on biblical principles, even though I think in many ways we've gotten away from that. So I guess at the end of the day, I'm probably going to take the position that your advisor will take if he finds out, or she, and that is to say, I don't think this sounds like a great idea from my perspective. Does that make sense, though?
Well, it does, but let me ask you this. Would, if I took the money out of an investment account and then, like, paid off a loan, or the way I'm looking at it is not really paying off a loan, but if I buy his house only for what he owes on it, isn't that like a, another investment, like taken out from an investment to do another investment to for
yeah,
tax purposes?
I see what you're saying. So let me help you with that. Is the money in an IRA, an individual retirement account?
Well, I've got, at Edward Jones, I've got money in an IRA, and then I've got like another $700,000 or $800,000 in just, I guess, investments for, you know, in the stock market and.
Okay, but what type of account is that $700,000 to $800,000? Is it in what's called a taxable account?
You know, I'm not sure. because I'm calling you off the cuff
yeah.
because like
no,
I'm
no,
on
I get
my
it.
Way to the store
sure,
and I heard
sure.
it. So
yeah.
I can't really tell you what type of accounts these are in
okay.
because I was just...
Yeah. So if it's a taxable account, you could buy his property from him. Now you're the owner, and then you could charge him rent to live in it. If you want to just pay off his mortgage, you don't want to become the owner, then you need to make a gift to him. So, you know, now if you were wanting to do that through an IRA, you were wanting to buy his property outright. The only way to do that is something called a self-directed IRA, where you can take IRA money and buy a piece of property. But it's going to get complicated because this is not an arm's length transaction because it's a family member. So you're going to have to work with your advisor and your CPA to figure out how to structure this. At the end of the day, though, Deborah, I just don't think it's worth the hassle of what you're trying to do. I mean, at any point, you could make a gift to him if things started to look to get ugly in this country. And again, I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I think, any kind of debt crisis or major economic event in this country, I think is still decades down the road. And Lord willing, that never comes because we make some course corrections on some of our spending and debt levels and a few other issues. But even if we don't, I still think it's way down the road. And so the fact that you would prematurely make all of these significant moves that all have tax implications and make things very complicated, not to mention the fact that now you're you're in a lender slave relationship with your son because now he's paying you back every month, which is just, I think, generally not a good idea. This is not something I would be excited about.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, that makes sense. So I will just let it go. Forget about it.
All right. Well, you're welcome. I'm glad I was the first one you checked in with. I'm happy to be your sounding board at any point in the future, Deborah. So don't hesitate to give us a call back. May the Lord bless you. Let's we're staying in Texas. This is the Texas show. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm calling in with a couple of questions about how 401ks and IRAs are treated in the estate probate process and then taxation to my heirs. The basic background, I'm retired. My wife's retired. I had two 401ks from previous employers. I kept one of the 401ks, still have it, because the administrative fees were very low and I'd like their investment options. And then I took the other 401k, rolled it over into a self-directed IRA, and that's where we're at right now. My wife and I have mutual wills where if one of us dies, everything goes to the surviving spouse. And my question is, if I die first and everything passes to my wife, what are the tax implications on how that 401k and IRA will be handled through the probate process? And then after she receives them, what are the tax implications to her? How fast does she have to take money out? Or can she follow the same minimum required distribution schedule that I am, which was basically taking it out over 25 years, according to the IRS guidelines? And then what happens if, when she dies, it's going to my daughter as our sole heir? What are the tax implications for her? Same question. How fast does she have to take withdrawals?
Well, bottom line is you'd name beneficiaries on the IRAs and 401ks, so they pass outside of probate. So that's very efficient. With regard to the withdrawal schedule, unless there's a required minimum, surviving spouses can just treat it as their own. And so she'd be able to take it out, just based on her normal withdrawal schedule and subject to required minimums. Which everybody has. And then a non-spousal IRA is generally taken out over a 10-year period, but you're going to want to check with your CPA on that. But all of those distributions are taxable for your wife and your daughter. They're just treated differently with regard to the schedule. I hope that helps, Chris. Thanks for calling. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.